This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. The statistics for breast cancer are enough to make you sick. It's estimated that 1 in 9 American women get the disease. My guest, Dr. Ursula Zeiniger, is a surgeon who specializes in breast disease. She has an understanding of breast cancer that most doctors don't. She developed breast cancer 2.5 years ago. The first sign was a slight thickening of the tissue she discovered during a self-exam. The mammogram revealed nothing unusual. Other doctors felt no abnormality. But Dr. Zeiniger knew something was wrong. A laboratory test revealed the cells were cancerous. Then she became the patient. She underwent surgery, radiation, and chemotherapy. All of her subsequent tests for cancer have been negative. Dr. Zeiniger is affiliated with Graduate Hospital in Philadelphia. We invited her to tell us what she learned about illness and health care from her own experience. I asked her what it was like when she found out she had cancer.
I learned it in a very, probably in one of the less pleasant ways, although I don't think there's a good way, but I had just gotten back from a very lovely trip to meet my parents for my father's 81st birthday. And the day after my return, I said to my partner, look, do the fine needle aspiration. I just want to have it out of my system. I want to know what's going on. And we had a staff meeting that afternoon, and no results were called up from pathology. And on the way home with my husband, being like all happy and relaxed, leaving work, and my husband and I work together, I said, well, let's stop by in pathology and look at these slides of mine. I almost forgot about it. And then I walk into the pathologist's office, and she looked a little perturbed, and then I said, what is it? And she says, well, it's positive. And I said, well, let me look at the slides. There was like no transition. There was no one coming towards you, maybe with a serious face or someone maybe giving an indication. It was cold, flat out. And I just looked at my slides and I said, under the microscope, and I said, yes, it's positive. My husband and I walked out of there. I don't think we said anything for 10 minutes. It was this total shock as to what had happened, because we were so unprepared and emotionally so happy going out. We had invited friends for dinner that evening. We never thought it would be positive.
When you found out that you had breast cancer, what was the first decision you had to make?
The first decision my husband and I really had to make, how we were going to handle it, who was going to be my surgeon. And I had, we talked about it on the way home, and I thought I would contact a surgeon I had seen a few times who was my former chief when I was in training. And then my husband said, listen, would you mind very much, or would you like me to be your surgeon? And my first reaction was, that is terrific. And my second reaction was, this is going to be incredibly hard to do it so there is no indelible mutual obligation. I felt that, yes, it would be terrific because it would give both of us control. It would also give both of us a sharing in this very, very isolating experience, which is having cancer, having any major illness. But I also realized it must be very difficult for him. So I said, okay, as long as we really pledge that if you find it too tough or if I find it too tough, we change.
How did it work out?
Terrific. Was very difficult at times, but I don't think it was anywhere near as difficult as it would have been if I had had someone else operate on me, and then the person who is so close to you as your husband would then be an outsider in the events. And it really gave both of us total control over the planning, the decision-making, the choice of treatment, you know, deciding between lumpectomy, axillary dissection, and radiation therapy versus mastectomy.
Now, how did you make the decision to have a lumpectomy versus mastectomy? And I'll say here that a friend of mine has anguished over that decision for her own self. And it's just been a torturous decision for her.
I went, what I always tell my patient to do, I went by real gut feeling. We all know that barring some very special circumstances, the cure rates are the same. So that it's not a question that you're going to do something frivolous for the sake of beauty or integrity or wholeness of your body, jeopardizing cancer treatment. The cure rates are the same whether you go with a mastectomy or you go with lumpectomy, axillary dissection, and radiation therapy. So what you really have to decide is how comfortable you are going to be either without your breast being able to say, okay, It's out of me. It's away from me. It's taken off. Nothing can ever happen there again. Or saying, how comfortable are you going to be with a breast that has some scars on it, that may have some deformity, that has been radiated, but knowing that you still, for all intents and purposes, have maintained your physical integrity. And I took one look at myself and I said, I want to keep it. And basically went from there. Now, it meant the initial biopsy, and then there were some tumor cells very close to the edge of that excision. And in order to have satisfactory control of cancer when you go for lumpectomy and radiation therapy, you have to have clean rims of normal tissue around the tumor. So I went for a second excision and then sat there and literally with the pathologist looked at some 60 slides to determine that all the borders were clean, and then said, okay. That morning, basically, at 8 o'clock that morning, I sat with a pathologist and looked at my slides, and I was set that day to go either for lumpectomy or mastectomy, depending on what the results of that second excision would be. And they were okay, so I went for my axillary dissection.
You're just joining us. My guest is Dr. Ursula Zeiniger, and she is a surgeon specializing in breast disease. And she had breast cancer about 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, and that has been cured. Is that the right word?
Well, I really don't think that is the appropriate word. Unfortunately, with breast cancer, like with most cancers, we really know that it can come back a long time out, and it's a false hope to speak of cure. Certainly at this point, it isn't. I can say that 2.5 years later, I feel more confident, more comfortable. I'm less anxious about it. But I think saying that you're cured at this point would be very premature.
You kept up your practice while you were getting chemotherapy.
Yes.
What was it like for you to operate on, I don't know if it was a full schedule or a reduced schedule, but you were sick with the disease that you were treating patients for. Did you want them to know?
The patients knew because I had to let them know. I was basically getting treatment at times with my patients following me or preceding me in radiation therapy, or we would cross paths when we went to chemotherapy. I've had a breast cancer support group that meets once a month. So obviously anybody who came to that group, which is a good 20-30% of the patients, knew that I was in the hospital or that I was having treatment because I did take about 3 or 4 weeks off. So they knew, and it made for a very close and very difficult experience in treating them.
What helped bring you closer, and what made it difficult?
Well, what made it closer was that they were just so incredibly kind and always asking how I was and always having this true sense of caring for how I felt. Almost, I felt at times they cared more about me than maybe I ever showed that I cared for them. It was a real office hours turned into, but how are you? How is it going for you? Are you okay? What can we do to help? That sort of thing. What made it difficult was that at the end of office hours, I would usually be totally besides myself with emotional fatigue because I couldn't get away from my own disease. I couldn't distance myself because when I took care of them, they would turn chairs on me and would ask me how I was. So hour after hour during office hours, we would be talking about them and a great deal about me and my fears and how I felt. It took me about 6 months to get back to just saying, listen, I'm just fine. Thank you very much for asking. I think if I hadn't found that ability to say that, whether it was true or not, you know how it is, someone says, how are you? You say, I'm fine. You may feel dreadful, but it's sort of a social convention to establish a little bit of distance and privacy. And if I hadn't learned that, I don't think I could have continued to take care of them.
Was there a specific moment where you realized you had to learn where to draw the line?
There's a very difficult time after the end of treatment when all the treatments are over. Like, initially, it's hard to deal with the impact of the diagnosis, but something happens every day. You have to make decisions. You're sort of in the thick of it. You're constantly surrounded by people who are saying, we're treating you, we're going to cure you, we're going to do something positive. And then all of a sudden, after 6 months, your treatments are over. And you have this incredible feeling of who's rooting in my corner. who's doing anything for me. Now it's you against the cancer, and it's sheer hell. I found it sheer hell for about 4 weeks. And during that time, unfortunately, three of my patients, one got lung metastasis, two got bone metastasis. So when I just said, well, you know, I think I'm going to be okay, I had to confront some of my patients doing a lot worse than I was and saying, well, here, but for the grace of God. So it took about 6 weeks during which I ended up getting a bone scan myself because I couldn't deal with it anymore, and was sort of coming through this whole emotional struggle to say, well, if my bone scan is positive, what am I going to do? You know, I didn't want to be as unprepared as I was for my fine needle aspiration 6 months prior. So I said, my husband said, well, let's get a bone scan. You know, I go with you, we'll organize it, you get a bone scan, that's going to make you feel better. And I said, yes, but what if it's positive? How am I going to deal with it? I am not going to be able to deal with it, this vulnerability once again. So I somehow decided at that point I had to just see my patients. They are my patients. I care for them very much. But I can't have it reflect back on me all the time because I couldn't be functioning effectively. It's not fair to them. Wouldn't be fair to me.
Do you not tell patients anymore?
I now tell them in a much more, I control when I tell them. And I very often tell them when they look at me and they say, but how can I possibly function? How can I possibly deal with chemotherapy or something like that? But it's going to be so hard. I say, look, I went through 2 years ago. It's very, very hard. It can be done. I know you can do it. But it's not, it's a more controlled and constructive way, I think, of letting them know.
You know, I can think of all the times I've gone to a doctor feeling really ill and really worried about what this meant, and really envying the doctor, thinking, well, God, the doctor's really got it easy. They're just running around treating people, but they're feeling good today. You know, and this is what you kind of come to expect from doctors. And I wonder what, if you have any sense of what it was like for your patients, thinking that their doctor wasn't immune from the problem they were having. Of course, no doctor is, but you just, you know, when you're lying there in this incredibly vulnerable position on the table, it's the kind of thing you think.
There's one patient who I had seen who had no breast cancer, never had any, but she had a strong family history and she was very much afraid of developing breast cancer. So she literally came every 3 months at her own request for a breast exam. She stopped coming. And I know that for some of the other patients, there was a real concern that I might sort of go die on them. One of them expressed it in a book. She's an author. And others expressed it to a therapist who was working with them in a therapy group session. I think it is scary because it's true. I think you expect your physicians to be invulnerable in many ways. But I think once you go beyond that, it actually gives a certain amount of confidence to say that at least there's one person who knows what it was like and can more than sympathize, really share in some of the feelings.
My guest is Dr. Ursula Zeiniger, a surgeon who specializes in breast cancer. She recently had breast cancer. More after this short break. This is Fresh Air. If you're just joining us, my guest is Dr. Ursula Zeiniger, and she's a surgeon who specializes in breast cancer. Now, let's get back to when you were the only person who thought that there was something wrong with your breast. You did a self-exam. You found something. All of your colleagues thought that things looked fine. Did this change your feelings at all about self-exams, about doing them more often, not just for yourself but for patients? Did it change your feelings about the advice you should be giving patients?
I have very mixed feelings about self-exam. I think the whole thrust in dealing with breast cancer has been early diagnosis.
Mm-hmm.
Now, early diagnosis is really mammography. Self-exam picks up lesions or tumors that are at least 1 centimeter or 1/2 inch. Probably most of the time they're being picked up when they're about 2 centimeters. Mammogram picks up lesions that are much smaller. Very often so small that they're either only apparent as a 1/8 of an inch or a 1/16 of an inch little shadow, or at times they're too small to be felt. The thrust or the incredible pressure to perform breast self-examination, I think, is probably exaggerated because it really picks up tumors relatively late.
You know, a lot of women are very confused when they do self-exams because they have kind of lumpy breasts anyways, and you can't tell what's a kind of normal lump for you and what's a lump that is out of the ordinary and requires a biopsy. And I think that's probably one of the reasons why a lot of women aren't as conscientious as they're told to be about their exams.
I think that's true. I think it's probably not well taught. You see, you're being taught when you teach breast self-exam, you're taught to feel something and then sort of make a decision what you're feeling. It takes a tremendous amount of experience to actually examine a breast, multiple, many, many breasts, not just your own, at different times in your life, and to say, this feels like tumor A, tumor B, this is obviously a cancer or whatever. And when we teach women to do breast self-exam, there's always this feeling, well, you feel for a lump. What you really should do if you examine yourself, and a lot of the time it's just a natural touching yourself, whether it be in the shower or getting dressed or looking at yourself without making a big thing out of a structured exam, what you really should be aware of is anything that is different.
Do you think that's why you were able to spot something irregular in your breasts and your husband, who's a surgeon, and the other doctors you went to thought that there was nothing unusual?
I think because, yes, as
you were really
a
familiar.
Woman, you're really familiar with it. There's something else also that if you examine yourself, you get a sense of the perception of your finger pushing your breast tissue against the muscles on your chest wall. So you actually have a second dimension to your sensation, which is what it feels like when it hits your chest wall. So I felt there was something that was just, it was very subtle, but it was sort of just a little denser to me, maybe just a little more irregular, some tenacity or change in consistency that I was not aware of before.
Now, when you detected something was wrong with your breast, nothing showed up on the mammogram.
That's right? True.
Now, why didn't anything show up on the mammogram? And has this changed your feelings one way or another about the annual mammograms that are usually recommended for women over 40?
Okay, you have to be very careful that you distinguish between two uses of mammography. Mammography as a screening modality. Screening means early detection of a cancer in an otherwise totally asymptomatic population. My situation was very different. I felt something, and I went for the mammogram sort of as a saying, well, maybe that would help identify something. But just because the mammogram was negative and didn't show anything in that area or anywhere else for that matter, did not make me abandon the fact that I felt something. A mammogram, if you feel a lump and the mammogram doesn't show that lump, the only thing the mammogram can say is, I don't see that lump, but that doesn't mean the lump isn't there.
So the mammogram doesn't see everything.
The mammogram does not see everything. And when there is a palpable lump or any other abnormality, then someone, regardless of what the mammogram shows, has to get a tissue confirmation of what that is. Whether it's putting a little needle in, doing a biopsy, any of a number of techniques. But you cannot ignore a patient complaint or a physical finding.
So what you would say to people listening now is that they should get their screening mammograms, but that doesn't mean that everything's necessarily okay and they should still do their breast exams.
If you have a screening mammogram and a negative exam, let's say in October, and in January you feel a breast lump, then that breast lump needs to be followed up with every bit the same concern and accuracy as you would do it if you didn't have the mammogram.
Are there things that surprised you while you were getting your treatment about how you were treated at hospitals or what doctors didn't seem to understand or what the technicians didn't seem to quite get about the experience of getting radiation or chemo or whatever?
Most people, certainly anybody to do with surgery and anybody to do with radiation therapy, was remarkably tuned into the fact that the patient, or myself for that matter, was undergoing something fairly invasive. I mean, radiation therapy, when you're lying under that machine the first few times, I was truly scared out of my brain. I mean, you are so indoctrinated to be afraid of radiation, and all of a sudden you're lying there and you're getting mega doses thrown at you. I was counting the seconds, as if it doesn't shut off in 13 seconds, I'm going to jump. And everybody was very much aware of it and told me not to be afraid. They would be watching all the time. It was very reassuring. I found chemotherapy much different. It was much less concern by the people giving it, the nurses and the staff giving it, over the fear of having actual, what you would consider, poisons running into your body. It made it very hard. The rooms are not set up in a fashion that is very conducive for the patient to be comfortable. The smell of the drug actually is to the point that it can still make me nauseated if I think about it hard enough. I think there's a lot that could be done to improve the setting, distract patients from unpleasant smells that you might associate with chemotherapy, reducing the sense of anticipatory nausea as you're going into the room, things like that. And then some people were just, I guess, not giving much thought to the patient.
Do you ever wish that you could change careers and stop treating breast cancer so that you could get further away from what you had yourself?
I could have done without breast cancer altogether. But I think ultimately it has made me much better equipped in dealing with my patients. And now that I have learned again to feel myself, there is a sense, I think, when you have cancer, that you have to reconstitute your own being as being whole again. You feel incredibly invaded when it happens, just by the disease. Forget about the treatment, just by the fact that you have a cancer. Now that I feel that I've made myself whole again, I actually enjoy taking care of the patients because I can give them something I could have given them otherwise. So I don't think I would give that up.
Dr. Zeiniger, thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you.
Dr. Ursula Zeiniger is a surgeon affiliated with Graduate Hospital in Philadelphia. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.